When was the moment that you realized you lost yourself in entrepreneurship?
Welcome to the Supported CEO Podcast. I'm Ellie Runkles.
And I'm Jenny Krause. We're on a mission to help exhausted entrepreneurs feel a little less alone as you navigate what it looks like to create space to rest and recover while also running a business and managing all of life's to-dos that don't just stop when you need to take a break.
We've got a lot to cover, so let's get straight into the conversations we should all be having more of.
Let's go.
Yeah, so the moment I realized that I had lost myself in entrepreneurship was several years after that journey of losing myself had started. I was in it for a long time before realizing how deep in it I really was. The moment where it all started becoming clear to me was when I got to a place of like on the very, very cusp of burnout. I wasn't quite to burnout yet, but I was at a place in my business where I was exhausted. I was not enjoying the things that I was doing. All of the offers that I was selling, all of the content that I was creating, all of it just felt like I have to do this. Like I have to keep going because I'd already come this far. I was already in it, you know, deep in my business several years in. I had clients counting on me. I was relying on the income from my business, but I was not enjoying it at all. And at that point, that's when I realized, like, I am so far away from why I got into this in the first place. I don't recognize myself in this business anymore. I used to enjoy doing this. When I started my business, I was enjoying it. I was like lit up. I was on fire. I was excited. I was passionate about the work that I was doing. And then somewhere along the way, I got caught up in doing what others said that was the right thing to do, following what others were saying was like, this is the path forward. This is how you build a successful business, and focusing on those things instead of the things that lit me up just led me to a place of just not enjoying it, feeling very much like I was doing what I had to do. I was stuck in it. And in that moment, that's when I realized this is not why I started this. And I don't recognize myself anymore.
I relate with every word you just said. I feel like my journey was so similar to that. Specifically the part of not being able to recognize myself several years in after I had an established branding agency and coaching program and mastermind, and realizing I had gotten so far away from my own vision and I was implementing things that other people, gurus, coaches, were telling me what was best for me, but weren't feeling aligned. Like I was having resistance that wasn't just your typical like growth resistance. Like this is uncomfortable because I'm growing. There's a difference. And I feel like that's not often talked about, that you can't just set all of your intuition aside because you're uncomfortable in your growth. Your intuition is very real in telling you what is for you and what is clearly not for you. And I think in the coaching industry, that line can often be very blurred or not even talked about at all. And so realizing several years in, and again, can't see it when you're in it, but only getting clarity after the fact that, oh, I'm feeling this way because I got so far away from my initial vision. I got so far away from what lit me up to create all of this in the first place. And now I'm at a point where I rely on this income. People rely on me. I have a team that relied on me. And it was just too much in that feeling of, I don't know if this is what I actually want. And how to ask yourself to take the necessary steps to begin to unravel that. And the excitement level. I mean, I remember the early days of my business and sitting in German class, because I live abroad. And, you know, it was a decade ago that I was sitting in German class and I was learning, you know, how to speak German. But in the back of my notebook, I had all of these business ideas beginning to form as well. And I would just get so excited to work on those on like the weekend. And it just not feeling like work and it just feeling fun. But then somewhere along the lines of just those last couple of years of my business, I couldn't wait to have the weekend off. And that was a feeling that I just never wanted to feel. And again, it's not to say that I live in a bubble of when you do the thing that you love, you don't feel like work is work. That's not the case. Like, yes, there is very hard work and you need time off. But when you love what you do, I do feel there is a certain level of just genuine fulfillment and excitement to think about it. And at the end of my business, I couldn't wait to put it down. And it never used to feel that way.
Yeah, I think what you mentioned about the difference in the way it feels when there's that real discomfort that comes with growth. And that is a discomfort that is worth pushing through and is worth, you know, addressing in a way that helps you to move forward through the discomfort. There's a difference in that type of what I like to think of as like healthy growth related discomfort. Yes. Versus that this just feels terrible. Like, this is not what I want to be doing. This is not how I want to be spending my time. This feels very disconnected and very misaligned from like who I know that I am at my core. Those two different types of discomfort are very different. And that has really what my, you know, from that moment of realizing that I had lost myself in entrepreneurship, my journey back from that has really been so focused on learning how to tell the difference and learning when that discomfort is something to pay attention to and, mm-hmm. and lean into because it's moving me toward my growth versus something that I can just release because this isn't serving me. Of course, there's like a whole process of doing that and of like, you know, getting the things that are no longer working off of your plate and doing that in a way that addresses the fact that you have real responsibilities, like with where you're at with it now. But I think that difference is something that I really lost sight of within entrepreneurship. And I know, like, before coming into the online business space, like, I can look back and see, like, pinpoint different points in my journey where I made hard decisions. I did difficult things. You know, my journey of moving abroad, because I live abroad too, I remember that, you know, in the weeks before I was getting ready to get on the plane and go, like, go abroad, like make the big move in my life in the US. As I was packing things up, I was, you know, doing a lot of hard things in order to prepare for that. There was a lot of discomfort, but it felt clean. It felt like this is part of my growth and this feels good. And I think the further I got into entrepreneurship, I felt those same feelings like in the beginning of starting my business. But the further I got into entrepreneurship, the more I started leaning on not even just the expertise, but the opinions of the leaders that I was learning from, the people I was learning mm-hmm. from in the online space, and, you know, receiving messages around what types of discomfort they thought I should push through versus like push back on. All of that, like ability to just listen to my intuition and know the difference between the like the hard stuff that's worth pushing through versus the hard stuff that's, this is just hard because you shouldn't be doing it in the first place. I lost that ability to tap into my intuition and know the difference between the two.
Ooh, I love that. Let's touch on, you just said something that I don't think you and I have even ever talked about. Expertise versus opinions from people we're learning from.
Yeah, like I, as a teacher and a coach and a strategist in my previous business, that is something that I always really leaned into and couldn't really put it into words until right at this moment, that I always try to, when I'm coaching or working with my clients, have a distinction between when I'm coaching and guiding them toward the right answer for them versus when I'm giving my opinion. I always try to say, take what I'm about to say with a grain of salt because you know your situation better than I do. This is my opinion. This isn't me guiding you toward your, you know, your answer for yourself, and make that clear in my conversations with clients that these are two separate things. And I don't think that that's very common. In my experience, it hasn't been very common in the people that I was learning from to have that distinction made, with a few, very clear exceptions with, you know, phenomenal coaches that I've worked with in the past, because there are phenomenal coaches out there. But there's also a lot of, you know, and this isn't bashing anyone, but it's just coaches that don't make that distinction. And so it's very easy when you're mm-hmm. in a place of looking to someone for answers who does have some expertise in particular areas, without that distinction being made, it's very easy to get into a place of like, everything that they say on every topic is what I need to be doing. When really it's like you're paying for expertise in a very particular area, and their opinions on, you know, on other things may be really interesting and useful and helpful, or they may not. And you don't have to take those, mm-hmm. but I didn't know that at that point in my journey. And so I was just taking things at face value as this is how it has to be done, without looking at it through the lens of my intuition and my my experience as a business owner, mm-hmm. as a business strategist. So much of that just got pushed to the side because of that discomfort. I think it's a combination, honestly, of the way that some coaches present the information that they're presenting, and also there's also the personal side of like what's going on for you internally that's impacting the way you're receiving those messages. And anytime I was in a place of self-doubt, of not feeling confident in myself for whatever reason, it's much easier to fall into that place of trusting other people's opinions more than your own.
Yes, agree. And that's why, like, you know, one of the things that we are so supportive of as supported CEOs is for people to be doing their own mental health advocacy, growth work, however you want to define that for yourself. But to seek therapy, to be in therapy, to not see coaching or any coaching you may receive directly or indirectly from the Supported CEO podcast as a replacement for therapy. We aren't therapists. We both value and highly believe in therapy. We both have regular therapy. Thank God for my therapist. And we just want to make that clear that that's something that we really believe in and value. And as anyone seeking to step into their next version of being a supported CEO, honestly, like, therapy is one of the best things that we can tell you to do. And to have that support in addition to coaching, I think it's really hard to have a business coaching relationship if you aren't doing some kind of also personal development work on your own outside of your business coaching relationship. What do you think, Ellie?
Yes, I completely agree. Like the work that I have done in therapy over the last several years of recovering from burnout, sort of coming back to myself after losing myself in entrepreneurship, therapy has played such a big role in that. And coaches have helped as well. Coaches along that journey have helped as well. A lot of the like coaching practices that we have developed and the self-coaching that we have developed together, like I started that process of, you know, with of coaching myself, of doing that self-coaching work for myself along that journey. And that has been incredibly useful. And we are excited to share some of those tools with you over the, you know, coming months and introduce you some of that self-coaching work that can be incredibly valuable. But we want to make it 100% clear that this is not a replacement for therapy. And therapy has been a crucial piece of our growth and our ability to come back to ourselves in entrepreneurship and just as humans, throughout this entire journey. And so that is something that if you're not already doing, we are big advocates for therapy and can't say highly enough, like how important that is to this journey.
Yes. I love it. Well, I'm so excited for the Supported CEO podcast, for the community that we are welcoming in and starting together. Ellie and I just saw a huge need for much bigger, deeper, more raw conversations. And we have a lot of conversations planned for you. So we do hope that you will hang in there with us, at least listen to the first three episodes that we have dropping so that way you get a full feeling of everything that we're hoping to bring to you and to the conversations on your journey to becoming a supported CEO. If you enjoyed this conversation, we invite you to think about the ways that you might have lost yourself in entrepreneurship and join us on Instagram at supported_CEO to keep the conversation going. Until next time.
You know you've got too much on your plate right now. But as a busy business owner with clients and a team counting on you, plus a whole life outside of business that needs your attention as well, you can't just push it all to the side while you rest and recover. That's why we created the Capacity Planning Workbook, to help you take an honest look at the things you have on your plate so you can release what needs to go and make the most of your limited time, energy, and brain space to face the things that can't. This self-coaching workbook will help you balance the things you currently have on your plate with a lot more ease and will introduce you to a system you can use week after week to stop overfilling your to-do list and align your life and business in a way that supports both your big ambitious goals and your whole human self. Grab the workbook for free at supportedceo.com/capacity.